Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat that's cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days. A 101-night sleep trial and up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices. Up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep. Upgrade your life. Ghostbed. The coolest beds in the world.
Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Hello and welcome back to the WTF1 podcast with your usual host, myself, Hayden Gullis, and James Coker. This is currently the 11th of the 11th. We're in a break of Formula One, this weird end of season where we do a triple header and then we have a break and then we have another triple header. But we've got a 2-week break at the moment. So news for this sort of week before, of course, not being a race week is a bit sparse. But we have got some stuff to talk about. We're going to kick things off with a new Instagram account, James, that was brought to us by the GPDA, the Grand Prix Drivers Association, which is obviously the collective of all the Formula One drivers together. George Russell is in charge of that in terms of the driver's side. And they have come with the message that is basically a big middle finger up to the FIA and what's been going on in recent times of telling them that they're not allowed to swear and giving out driver fines for swearing. And also for what underwear they're wearing and jewelry, etc., etc. And also wanting to know where the money has gone when it comes to fines from drivers, because the FIA is a non-profit organization. So they just want a bit of transparency on that. James, what's our thoughts about this coming together?
Is there like a shorter way to say Grand Prix Drivers Association? Do you say like JPDA?
GPDA? Just GPDA, right? Or is that longer? Would you say that's longer?
I guess GPDA works. Yeah. I think it's great. I think it's I think them starting an Instagram account and issuing this statement was a great way to take control of the narrative because they didn't really have like a formal way to issue any sort of like statement to the press. I thought it was really powerful. All the fans at least received it very well and was like, this is great. They're sticking up for themselves. They're getting together. They're having like a united front and a message that collectively they as drivers like are tired of these what essentially are like asinine policies from the FIA.
Yeah.
The one thing that I thought was interesting is it's very hard to read on a phone. I don't know if you tried to read the statement on your phone.
There's a lot of text. It could have possibly be broken down into two, and you know you can swipe it, but I suppose then with Instagram that they're worried that people might only get half the message and not see all of it. Let me just bring it back up once again to sort of see. Also, GPDA being a new account, it's quite hard to find,
and they have like a ton of followers already. They have like over 300,000 followers. Okay. In order to read it, I had to screen grab it and then email it to me, my PC.
Yeah.
And then open it on my computer because I could not read it on my phone because I tried to pinch and then I'd lose place. But the statement read as such, the GPTA statement, GPDA statement regarding driver misconduct. As in the case with every sport, competitors must abide by the referee's decision, whether they like it or not. Indeed, whether they agree with it or not. This is how sport works. The drivers, our members, are no different and fully understand that. Our members are professional drivers racing in Formula One, the pinnacle of international motorsport. They are the gladiators, and every racing weekend, they put on a great show for the fans. Who do you think came up with the gladiators line? Do you think that was George?
Well, I don't know, because I feel like this is potentially, because the director and chairman, so I believe that's actually Sebastian Vettel, I believe maybe is still, I'm not too sure, but I saw people saying Sebastian Vettel and someone else are like the above George Russell, you know, the ones above. George Russell, I think, is in charge of all of the drivers and the go-to guy, I guess.
Okay, fair. With regards to swearing, there's a difference between swearing intended to insult others and more casual swearing, such as you might use in bad weather, or indeed in inanimate objects such as Formula One car or driving situation. We urge the FIA president to also consider his own tone and language when talking to our member drivers, or indeed about them, whether in a public forum or otherwise. Further, our members are adults. They do not need to be given instructions via the media about matters as trivial as wearing of jewelry and underpants. You know, we could continue to read it. It's a long statement, but the point, I think they made even though it's like a pretty long statement, I feel like they made a lot of good points and have just expressed the fact that they're just fed up.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, with the driver fines constantly, you know, it's money out of their pocket whilst they do earn a lot, you know, the majority of them. There's still sometimes where, yes, okay, they've said stuff, but there's also a language barrier sometimes for some of the drivers. You know, they don't all speak, well, they all speak English, of course, but they weren't all born speaking English. You know, some of them have learned that in their later years, and it's not always going to be fluent to them. They're always going to be words that they just sort of, you know, come out with and just say, especially as a lot of them grew up with engineers and, you know, engineers in their 40s, 50s at the moment, maybe even older ones that they would have grown up with would be saying a lot worse. And that's the English that they would have been picking up.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, a lot of the time it's spur in the moment and it just kind of can slip out from them. But they're adults, you know, they're apologized for it, which they did, you know, Charles Leclerc notably, when... he said it in the driver's press conference. He was like, oh, nope, sorry, I didn't mean to do that, you know. And I think it's a little bit ridiculous. I think, you know, that it is on them, and the implications are on them. If they swear or something like that, then their PR teams are not going to be happy with them, and they're going to get a little bit of a telling off in private. But that's kind of how it should be, not ridicule through the street of being like, look at this guy swearing. We're all adults, you know. And at the same time, it's Formula One's decision to broadcast it some of the times as well. Some of the times, like, for example, with people saying stuff over team radios and getting in trouble for stuff they've said over there. Now, I don't agree with the stuff that they've said on team radios, but at the same time, F1 agrees to broadcast it, and I don't think we should lose that, but I don't think we should be as strong on what they say spur in the moment. You wouldn't put a microphone, especially Vettel famously said, on a footballer when they get taken out and they're going to be like, oh, damn it, chap, that wasn't a very nice tackle. No, they're swearing at the referee, and that's why there's not microphones there. I don't want to lose the team radios, but at the same time, I just think that we don't need to scrutinize so much of what they say in the moment, because you're driving a weapon, a car that could easily just blow up on you, pulling G's that, you know, we can only imagine. And I think, give them a little bit of leeway.
I agree 100%. Also, you're in a high stress situation. You know, most of us curse in a high stress situation. And also, it's very hypocritical when the Sky Sports broadcast and the F1 TV broadcast cherry pick radio messages that involve expletives. They do it because it makes for good TV. So you can't decide to highlight those moments and then fine drivers for swearing. Like, either don't broadcast them and fine them, or broadcast them and let it slide. I don't know. It's very hypocritical. And I am interested to see like what the FIA does with this money. Yes, it's a nonprofit, but like, what are they doing with all that money they get?
They're just going out and getting smashed. They're having amazing dinner parties.
Right.
Coming into the paddock next week with different watches. You know, it's non-profit. They didn't make any profit out of it. They've already spent it, so there's no profit there. The money's already gone. Yeah, I do agree with the transparency, because at the end of the day, sometimes you want to know what your money is being spent on. Is it spent on the people who to make the FIA better and make better decisions, having more stewards or more opinions? Or is it being spent, as I say, on dinner parties and, you know, oh, great, it's going in our Christmas bonus for the end of the year, or the FIA's Christmas party? Like, there needs to be transparency. And without transparency, you open yourself up to those allegations that the FIA are just throwing one big Christmas party at the end of the year, and that's where all the money's going from. Because there's no transparency, there's no proof behind what I'm saying.
Right.
So take it with a pinch of salt. It's not true. I'm not saying that that's what they're doing. There's no proof to what I'm saying. But at the same time, there's no proof that I am not right. And because there's no transparency, until then, I could easily just say that's what they're doing with it.
Maybe at their Christmas parties, they give each other holiday gifts that are just like bags of cash.
They do their own secret Santa from the money. They all pick out a driver, okay, yeah, at the end of the year, right? As well as a name from someone who works there. And they have to buy a present for that person, yeah, with the money of fines that have been gained from the driver that they also pull out of the hat. So, you know, someone's getting Max Verstappen for that community service and fines that he got. Then, you know, he's going to be good. I think Lando Norris has picked up quite a few in the last few recent races as well. So whoever gets Lando Norris and their name pulled at the same time, they're getting a good Christmas present.
Next up, Audi's newly acquired F1 team from Sauber is rumored to be selling around 50% of the team to investors in Qatar, possibly Qatar's sovereign wealth fund. I am surprised, given the fact that they haven't even fully taken over Sauber's outfit, that they're already selling a good portion of the team. What do you think?
Yeah, maybe it's just going to help with funding, and Audi can sort of free up some of maybe their own budget to other investors outside. I mean, it's similar in a way, isn't it, with McLaren, because they have investors and owners from Bahrain and the Bahrain, I think, sovereign wealth fund from theirs, I believe. So it's a similar sense. It's not necessarily mean that, you know, Audi is no longer going to be called Audi F1. Instead, it's going to be called Qatar F1 team. Like, that's not how it's going to work. It just means that those from Qatar are interested in owning a Formula One team and want to go down that avenue and inject some funds into the team. And it could potentially help them with Audi. And I suppose it kind of gives them a bit of an option as well. If things don't work out, to pull out quite easily, and that team still have a bit of financial backing at the same time. Maybe they're sort of keeping their options open, because Stakon in a good position right now, and Audi is going to inherit that. And it's not like we're going to switch over from 2025 to 2026 and all of a sudden Audi are fighting at the top because it's got Audi written on the side. No, they're going to have to build up that car. They're going to have to make the right development to move up the grid. And that usually takes time. Yeah. I mean, look at other teams on how long it has taken teams like McLaren from 2012, when they were winning races, to get back up to the top. It's taken them up till 2024, 2023 to get back to the front again.
Yeah.
So things do take time to move up the order. And maybe it's an option for them, if things don't go well, to sort of take their name out of it as quickly as possible.
Good point. Also, it's been reported that Stefano Domenicali has admitted that Formula One may begin to annually alternate some of the European Grand Prix starting in 2026. Wow, this idea sounds very familiar, Hayden.
Stefano Domenicali, if you are listening, which we know you are, maybe consider some of the other stuff we've talked about, you know, free driver teams. What else have we suggested over the years?
Proximity chat.
Yeah, bring that one in too. And also get rid of three tire compounds. Give us back two. And smaller cars.
I think it's a great idea, because I do feel like the calendar is getting too full. I feel like 24 races is too much. They probably will keep it at 24 just because, you know, each Grand Prix tends to make a lot of money, and you've cut it down to 18,
yeah,
which is, I think, what should be on the calendar. That's a lot less that everybody's making over the course of the year. But Formula One seems to be obsessed with growth, growth in a new market, specifically the United States. Also, maybe bring a race back to Africa. Also, continuing to expand all over the world. Like, maybe we're going to go back to Malaysia. Maybe there's going to be another Gulf States race. Who knows? I do feel like it's a slippery slope, though, because this is a sport that its roots are in Europe. And if we start to have less Grands Prix in Europe on the continent that built this sport, nurtured it to what it is today, it eventually will be unrecognizable. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think, you know, it's where it comes from. It's kind of like if you started moving football teams to the US, in so to speak, Manchester United starts playing in the United States. I think, yes, they would still right. get fans and they'd still get people going to watch games, but the atmosphere would be different. And I think the atmosphere is different everywhere we go. You know, you look at fans from, I think fans from Silverstone are different to fans from Zandvoort, for example. Zandvoort is a big, big party. I think whilst there's a great atmosphere at Silverstone, it's not like a big party atmosphere like Zandvoort. Then you go to Japan, which is all cosplay and dress up and putting on these awesome hats that they wear, which are like DRS wings and cars on hats. Like, different places have different cultures. So I'm glad that we go to a lot of different places, but we've also got to make sure we keep that in mind and don't just go to places that have a lot of money but don't have a lot of spaces where you can watch the action from. Because if there's not a places for fans to go and watch, I think, why is that track on the calendar? We have spoken about this with tracks being alternating, and I think it's not a bad idea with having more tracks on the calendar. There's pros and cons to it. I think one of the pros for me that I'm going to love to see is that the F1 game's going to get so many more tracks, because instead of just having, you know, the 24 that they currently have, they also have the tracks that alternate, and they won't just alternate every year. I think they'll probably just keep all of the tracks that they switch between year on, year out. Yeah. There's other pros to it as well, that we get more countries that we get to go to, and some great circuits that have fallen off the calendar that you've mentioned. Malaysia, Kailami in South Africa, and then Istanbul as well. Some great circuits that have fallen off the calendar, and South Korea as well. India, great circuits. And you look at the calendar 24, and we want these circuits back, but it's like, where are you going to put them? We've already had 24 circuits on. 10 of those are in Europe. So it makes sense. I think also you've got to group certain ones together. I do think if we're going to be doing that with Europe, we have to also do it with the US. I think I've said this before, I don't think we should have two races in Italy anyway as well. Whilst Italy is a very historic place for Formula One racing, doesn't mean that it should warrant itself two Grand Prix. And US having three Grand Prix, yeah, I think they should also look to alternate that. If we were going to pick, though, any tracks that must stay on the calendar every year, what would you pick? I'll give you three out of the 24.
Of the 24 or of the European
of
circuits?
All the 24 races, you say these three must stay on the calendar every year.
Silverstone, Monza, and I don't know what else. This is going to be unpopular, but I'm going to say Singapore because it's like unique.
Okay. I will agree with Silverstone. I don't know whether that's British bias in me, but it's the first place that Formula One ever raced. I think there should always be a race in Britain, but then that's the biasness in me that wants the track still in my home country. So take that how you will. Another unpopular opinion. I'm going to get a lot of slack in the comments, but Monaco. For me, Monaco is historic. It has to stay on the calendar. I think if you fix the cars, you'll get better racing. Monaco's not the problem. The cars are the problem. And it's the best qualifying session of the whole season. And it's got the glitz, it's got the glamour. It's what Formula One was always about. So it's always important to have that history. And I would say then the third track for me, Brazil. I think Brazil is another track that must stay on the calendar. It always provides great racing. It's unpredictable with the weather. And I think it's just such a great place to go.
I would say Suzuka or Brazil before That's Singapore. True. Actually, so changing my answer.
I did forget about Suzuka. I was looking at the end of the season. I didn't see Suzuka there. Great shout. I'm going to still pick Brazil over it, but it's a Love great it. Shout for Suzuka.
This portion of the WTF1 podcast is sponsored by Proton Pass. Proton Pass is your one-stop solution for password management. Proton is known for privacy, security, and user-friendly products trusted by over 100 million users worldwide. They were featured in the New York Times, which I love, Time Magazine, heard of it, as well as the TV series Mr. Robot, which is a classic. I don't know if you've seen it, Hayden.
Well, it's not here in the UK, but maybe I'll get around to watching it. Proton Pass is 100% funded by its community with no VC involvement, ensuring the company remains user-focused and privacy-first. And subscribers to Proton Pass automatically get access to Proton's broader ecosystem, including Proton VPN, Proton Mail, and Proton Drive. These are all free plans.
I love that. I love free. What a treat. We've all been there, trying to log in, but a message pops up saying you've entered the wrong password. Then you reset it to the exact same password as all the other passwords you use across all accounts you have set up. That's not great for security. In fact, 67% are concerned that their financial info will be hacked. 3/4 concerned about how tech companies will use their location data. 69% don't want their online data used to personalize searches and ads. How do you feel about personalized searches and ads?
So you're telling me that I shouldn't use I Love James Coker for all of my passwords across all my accounts? I should probably change that after this podcast. I've actually had all of these concerns because of that, and use ProtonPass to settle my nerves by storing all my unique passwords in one place. The interface was straightforward to use, and with added identity protection, I can now control my digital footprint and enjoy the internet freely without the threat of privacy leaks. It even has an easy password import and cross-platform compatibility, plus auto-sync. So now I can securely generate, store, and auto-fill my logins. And to be extra secure, I've set up 2-factor authentication, so only I can access my passwords.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of effort, though.
Actually, it was pain-free, even for someone like me who is not the best with tech, which we all know when I have to set up these podcasts. Everything was straightforward, and it now works across all of my devices seamlessly.
I love that. That's so much fun. If password and data protection is a headache for you, head to http://proton.me/pass/WTF1 or click the link in the description and start securing your digital life with Proton Pass today. That's http://proton.me/pass/WTF1. Also, Las Vegas Grand Prix dropping a Peanuts merch collab.
Ooh.
Hayden, are you copping? Are you a big Peanuts fan?
I don't know what you mean by that. When you say Peanuts to me, I thought...
Charlie Brown, Snoopy?
Oh, okay. Okay. For me, when I heard that, first of all, I thought that you were just on about that they are exclusively only selling peanuts. I was like, well, what have you got a nut allergy? And you're going to... Is there nut-free nuts?
No.
Is there nut-free nuts?
I don't think there are nut-free nuts. But yeah, Las Vegas Grand Prix is doing a merch collab with Peanuts, also known as the Charlie Brown or Snoopy franchise. Mm-hmm. And you can only get it in person in Las Vegas. You can buy the youth line online, but you can't get any of the adult sizes online. And it's like combining two of my favorite mm-hmm. things, because I grew up a hardcore Peanuts and Charlie Brown and Snoopy fan. And I might drive to Vegas to see if I can get some of this merch.
They're smart then. They've got you. Because I hear that Las Vegas is really struggling to sell tickets. They did well last year because it's obviously the first one in Vegas. And then this year, I believe that they are struggling to sell tickets. And a lot of the hotels, a lot of the grandstands are massively discounted compared to last season. Maybe this is a way, you know, look at this. You can only get this merch here. So it's getting you. It's got you. It saw you coming from a mile off. It's like, let's get this sucker. Let's bring him in.
It's very possible that they just... It's very possible that they just misjudged what the demand was going to be mm-hmm. for it. And the tickets were so cost prohibitive, yep. people didn't even consider buying them. Like, maybe this is an opportunity for a correction for the Grand Prix, where the next year when they roll mm-hmm. it out, they're able to better position the pricing on the tickets to make sure that they sell out everything.
Yeah, I think they definitely made a bad call last season, but for last season, it made sense because it was the first one. But then at the same time, you know, you make Formula One less accessible and to the everyday person. And I feel like that's what drives any sport. You look at football, you know, football is probably the one that I would always compare with Formula One because it's such a worldwide sport. The World Cup is one of the most watched finals of anywhere in the entire world. And you yeah. look at football teams are, at the end of the day, should be tailored towards the working class people because that is what drives those clubs. Now, obviously, when they get to the Premier League, some of them like to get a bit greedy, drive up those ticket prices, and the UK is terrible for it. You know, food and tickets there are bad, but they are nothing in comparison to Formula One. I think being a fan, you would save all year. You know, if you're in your early teens, you're working we're lucky that we work, you know, good jobs, I feel like, and we're in a luxury position yeah. compared to others. But there are other people who might spend a whole year trying to save for a ticket, and there will be that opportunity. It's their holiday for that 1 year, and then they spend the whole year again, and then the next year it's even more expensive, and they might have to decide, oh, do you know what, I can't go, I can only go to this one session for that weekend. I think it's just not the right way to go. Whilst Las Vegas is, you know, a very, very expensive place, you know, it's about gambling and it's about money, and it's, you know, it's that's the place to be. But I still think at the end of the day, you can have those premium opportunities, those places that you go and watch F1, which are, you know, that people think are money can't buy opportunities. But then you also need your grounded positions that are for the everyday person, that they can just go and buy a ticket. They yeah. can go and take their kids. You know, I feel like Formula One is in a place at the moment where young fans might go, oh, mummy, daddy, I want to go watch this Grand Prix. It's like, yeah, that's great. Maybe one day, maybe when you're older, you know, whereas it should be, oh, sure, yeah, let's have a little look. Oh, we can go to get a general admission ticket on a Friday, and we can just go watch cars rather than spending an absolute fortune.
I do think more Grand Prix need to have GA passes that are just positioned price-wise that anybody can go. And the more expensive ones, of course, are the grandstand seats. And like, if you can afford to pay that premium, great. But I do think GA passes for almost every race should be available for anyone and everyone. Yeah. And right now, unfortunately, they're still too cost prohibitive.
But to come back to your point, I think this is a cool collab. And I hope that you get a chance to get something, either because you've gone there yourself or you know someone who's there that can pick something up for you, because I want to be seeing that on a podcast.
Okay, so on the heels of this Las Vegas Grand Prix Peanuts merch collab, is there a dream Formula One collab that you would like
to see? I think you know my answer. It is going to be a Pokemon and a Formula One collab. Those are one of my two favorite things. Putting those two together, I'm there for it. Take my money.
Okay, so let's get specific. Like, is it a Pokemon collab with a specific Grand Prix? Is it with a team? Is it just with Formula One? What Pokemon are we putting in this collab?
Formula One, I'm thinking merch. I'm thinking either you have liveries, right? I'm thinking
yes.
Let the artists who do an amazing job designing Pokemon cards and doing Pokemon art, you know, give them free reign. But you have that specific Pokemon. So say, obviously, it's going to involve Pikachu. It's the most famous Pokemon that there is.
Sure.
Pikachu is in the car, but it's also driving a Pikachu liveried car. And imagine having that on like a jumper, on a graphic t-shirt. Maybe I've started something here, but I feel like both companies, I don't want to get sued by either the Pokemon company or F1. So I'm not going to go down that avenue because I will lose that battle.
Why are you not going? We're just talking here. No,
but if I was to go and create, because I'm thinking of it now. I'm like, that is a great idea, but at the same time,
yeah,
I'm not going to do that.
So you would do just like because Pokemon is Japanese, yeah. Correct? You wouldn't do it as like a Suzuka collab. You would do it as just like a general Formula One collab.
I generally think it would be potentially better off as an American collab. I feel like it originated in Japan, but I feel like America's, I feel like it's popular in both, of course.
All right, let's assign liveries to each team. Which team's getting Pikachu?
Pikachu would be Alpine, but they're going to be changed back to Renault, okay?
Okay, which team's getting Charizard?
Well, that's going to be Ferrari. That's a very simple one. We can see that in there. Although Charmander's cuter, so we maybe start as a cuter, but...
What about Jigglypuff?
Jigglypuff, Aston Martin, they're going back to their Racing Point roots.
Okay, so you're going to go back to the pink?
Yeah. Back to the pink.
Okay, what about, I'm going to say some of these, Venusaur.
I've already taken Aston Martin, haven't I? Stake team, currently got a bit of green on, so let's go with that one.
All right, what about Snorlax?
Snorlax would be... Williams, because they're a bit sluggish, a bit slow, and they're usually crashing, so they don't go anywhere at all.
All right. What about Psyduck?
Psyduck, would be McLaren, because they're confused and their head's always hurting about how to deal with both of their drivers and how to actually win a driver's championship.
And what about Slowpoke?
Slowpoke is going in ass. Slowpoke is ass.
So, you know, if anyone is like, has considered to like stop listening to this podcast, this might be the segment that pushes them over the edge. They're like, I'm done.
Don't you dare ruin my favorite collaboration. If this ever happens, then I'm going to be incredibly poor. And I already collect Pokemon cards, so I already spend my money on stuff that I shouldn't do.
Yeah.
So it's going to get even worse. So,
listen, yeah. Whatever brings you joy, you know what I mean?
What's yours? Is it the Peanuts? Is that your favorite? Or is there one that would top that?
I like the Peanuts collab. I got to think about that. Mario.
Mario, okay.
Super Mario Brothers. Like a Nintendo collab.
Yeah.
I would love that. Just either like just a Super Mario Brothers collab or like a Nintendo collab as a whole, and we're talking about like the whole Nintendo universe.
Yeah, like kind of similar to when it was like Mario and Sonic at the Olympics game. Like a game that's basically Mario. Like, it's basically Mario Kart, like, isn't it? But instead with Formula One cars, I suppose. But I feel like I'm just describing Mario Kart now.
Yeah, now you're just saying Mario. But yeah, I would definitely buy a lot of Mario Brothers merch.
Yeah,
collab with Formula One. Moving on.
Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat that's cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days. A 101 night sleep trial and up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep, upgrade your life. Ghostbed, the coolest beds in the world.
Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
We just had Formula E testing last week. It was originally supposed to happen in Valencia and was moved to Jarama outside of Madrid because of flooding. In the very last testing session, they did like six testing sessions. Mitch Evans, top of TCS Jaguar Racing, topped the session. Surprising P2 in the last test. Dan Tickdom was very fast driving for Kiro. I don't think he's officially been announced in that race seat, but he was testing with them. And P3, the reigning Formula E champion, Pascal Wehrlein, in the Tagoya Porsche. And honorable mention, P4, the very young Taylor Barnard in P4 for Neo McLaren. I am so impressed with how quickly they were able to mobilize and find another circuit within a matter of a few days and be able to run with what seemed like a fairly smooth testing session.
Yeah, because this is the only test that they're doing, isn't it? It's not like they've got another week somewhere else that they could say, okay, you know, really unfortunate this has happened, so we're going to have to cancel this one, and then we will just be doing this one test here. It's not like they have that option. So yeah, really good they were able to get that turned around, especially for what we're going to be talking about later, which is obviously the all-women's test that was planned as well. If that was to be cancelled, that would be, you know, a huge dent for the visibility on that test session.
Toni Cowan-Brown pointed this out both in text and also she made a video about it. But I am surprised how few motorsport outlets covered. I'm surprised to the lack of coverage that the all women's test got, because I think this is an incredible opportunity, not just for the female drivers who got to drive in a Gen 3 Evo car. Like they were driving the same car mm-hmm. that the Formula E drivers were driving in the test. Not just a great opportunity for them, but a great opportunity for Formula E to like broaden its reach and get a bigger audience. Like, I think about other series and how cool it would be to see 20 women get the opportunity to drive a Formula One car, or see 20 women get to drive, or 27 women get to drive an Indy car in a test, and see how they compare to one another. Because what's so impressive is Abby Pulling drove in Nissan's car, topped out the all women's Formula E test just 3 seconds off the fastest overall time, which was Mitch Evans of Jaguar. Mitch Evans has driven in Formula E for a mm-hmm. number of years. He is very familiar with the subtle nuances of a Formula E car and what it takes. Abby Pulling had very little time to get acclimated to this and was just 3 seconds off.
Yeah, I think the better comparison would be whatever the time was on the first day, because I know a lot of people would hear that 3 seconds and be like, yeah, but that's 3 seconds. Like 3 seconds in racing is a lot of time. And I do worry a little bit with the conversations afterwards. I think this is a brilliant thing, and I think that the eyes on it are brilliant. And I've spoken before about F1 Academy, and that is, you know, to inspire a new generation and show that, you know, if you see it, you can do it. And I think the coming out of it to be then, oh, this is amazing, 3 seconds, without context, I know a lot of people that already are against something like this would use that as, you know, ammunition to fuel that fire, to be like, well, this is a reason why this shouldn't happen and why women shouldn't race. And that's not what should be coming out of it at all. I think I looked at the timings from the first day and it was a lot closer. I think it was only like a second maybe between the two. And yeah, as you said, rightfully said, Mitch Evans has been racing for so long. Abby Pulling's just jumped in the car. But again, yeah. I do want us to be careful with how many times we do something like this, because segregation shouldn't be a thing in Formula One. I think having the opportunity, brilliant. And I'm glad that they get this opportunity. Same with F1 Academy, because what's the alternative? That they go and do a normal day in job and never get that opportunity. But I don't think we should be doing as much segregation all the time with every single test and every single car. Like, you wouldn't do a Formula One women's testing day because you have the young drivers test. And I think, you know, inspiring that generation to give them, hopefully in the future, will have more opportunities to get in. This isn't going to be a quick fix, sadly, but we are on the right path. And I don't believe what Sophia Florish is doing, which is obviously the biggest opposite end, to be like, shut this down, this shouldn't happen, this is making a bad name for us. I don't think it is. And I think it's sometimes the wrong way to view it, that it's all about comparing now.
You mean in regards to F1 Academy? Sophia Florish was going to drive in this test, and then she had to pull out due to scheduling reasons mm-hmm. when they moved it from Valencia to Jarama. She was going to drive, I believe, in one of the Nissan cars.
But in terms of her being vocal with like F1 Academy, like, and W Series back in the day, was very, very vocal on it.
Yeah, but I agree with you. I don't think this should just be like a regular thing that we do and let it be like a performative test where we're just like, oh, look at us, we're so progressive, we're letting them test in the cars, but we're not going to give any of them a seat. I do think this is something that should really, we should only really need this for a few years to give female drivers an opportunity to drive the car to show that they have the pace of the men.
And I think it should be mixed in with the actual sessions. Like, as I say, it shouldn't be segregated, be an actual test. It should be one day, or at least for one day per the 6 days that they did, you must put a woman in your car for one of the days to give that opportunity, to give the eyes on it. And I suppose it's better for marketing when it's an all-women's test, because then someone wouldn't go under the radar. So I do understand it from that. And again, it's important to have that, if you see it, you can do it mindset. So there's got to be a better workaround of that idea. But I do think that they shouldn't be so much segregated and should be trying to bridge that gap to have them competing together, rather than going down a route that has, you know, women's football and men's football. We shouldn't be going down that avenue. We should be putting it together and having it so that one day we have a woman on the Formula One grid.
Yeah, nope. I think that's fair. I think it was very successful. People were very happy with how the test went. Abby Pulling, of course, pulled out P1 in the times. Jamie Chadwick had the was driving in the Jaguar TCS racing car, had the second fastest time. And Bianca Bustamante, of course, driving in the Neo McLaren, had the third fastest time. A shout out to Sam Smith of The Race, who's really covered the test in depth, probably more so than the other motorsport media outlets. And I hope that we see a woman in a Formula E car soon, in a permanent seat.
That is going to be everything for this week's WTF1 podcast. A shorter one than usual. As I say, not a lot of news for this week. Hopefully we get more in the later week, or we're going to find a fun new idea for me and James to do in the week before. Of course, then next week we start to build up towards Las Vegas. If you have been enjoying what you're listening to, make sure you follow us on whatever audio platform you're currently listening to at the moment. Follow the WTF1 socials for all of the latest F1 news and motorsport news as well. Make sure you check out myself and James Coker on our socials as well. We will see you on the next podcast. Until then, have a good rest of your day.
Bye.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that'll change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.